listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak. It has happened before. So let's see some hustle. Let's jack it up a little. I got a feeling things are about to turn around for us.
What was the name of that?
That was in a Major League.
Major League. I was thinking Wild Thing. Wild Thing was in it.
Wild Thing, that's Major League also. Same thing.
Yeah, Wild Thing. Yeah. Major League. Oh, that was Major League 2? That sucked. Dave Hardesty is going to be here in a second to talk about that win streak. It's a win streak.
The Rockets have a 3-game win streak. I never at any point, up to their second win, I would have never guessed they could put 3 together.
Yeah.
Never.
No, this is ridiculous. This is unbelievable. When they were 1-16, we thought, and listen, they had just lost at Boston, 108-90. They were a mess after losing. Listen, they might have covered it. They covered at the Knicks, right? 106-99, yeah. But lost by 12 at Oklahoma City, lost by 34 to Memphis. This team was a mess. And now it's pulled off 3 straight wins. And Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Dave, what's up?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
So, can you explain this? What the heck is going on?
I mean, they beat the Bulls, too. Their second win was against the Bulls, which...
Their first. Their second win of the season.
Second of the season. I didn't see that coming. They scrapped it out in
Dave,
the postseason.
Can you explain this in any way, shape, or form?
Thunder.
I think there's a couple things they've done. One is benching Daniel Theis and not going with the too big of lineups, putting Christian Wood at the center position where he thrives, at least offensively. I think that's been a big deal, the spacing. All year they've had really poor shooters, especially Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green. Up to this point, have been sub 30% 3-point shooters. And you put in a guy like Garrison Matthews, who understands spacing, is hanging out in the corner, and is a very good shooter. I think that's been those have been big elements to why they're winning a few games now.
I think that's John and I talked about it earlier in the show, Dave. It's a little. Early in the season, it was just a collection of guys, and it seemed like there was no real philosophy on the court. There didn't seem like there was a direction. It was just a bunch of guys doing things. And now, all of a sudden, you've kind of, with Jalen Green out, you reduce a little bit of the erratic play. You add a guy who adds a spacing element with Garrison. And as you just mentioned, taking out one of the bigs is going to create better spacing on the floor for penetrators. You know, it's the right mixing and matching that needs to take place, but how do you do that and still help Jalen Green grow?
That's a very good question, because I think Jalen Green, I mean, certainly he's your future, and he's only 19 years old, so he's got a lot to learn. But I think from what we've seen so far, he's basically a scorer and hasn't really had much of an impact elsewhere. And he hasn't scored efficiently. So I think he's going to benefit from better spacing. I think having Christian Wood at center and eliminating the too big lineup is going to help him. I think he's a better shooter than he's shown. I think he was around 36% in the G League. I think he's going to get better. If his work ethic is as good as we have been told, I think he's going to continue to improve. Like I said, he's only 19 years old. I think when John Wall does return, I think he actually might benefit Jalen Green just a little bit as far as setting him up. I think he's going to grow and learn, but I think they're going to take a step back because you're probably going to lose some minutes from Garrison Matthews, and he's been a bit of a dead-eye shooter so far.
So that is the question. I don't, from what we've seen so far, can you have Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green on the floor at the same time?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, I think that's the hope, right? I mean, they're still building and hoping that this is their backcourt of the future. I personally don't think if you I think you have to look at the Rockets as Jalen Green is your centerpiece until he proves otherwise. You have to look at it that way. So you're looking for players that are that fit best around him. I'm not sure Kevin Porter Jr. is that. He's been much better as a point guard the last three games, but still shooting, you know, miserably. I think he was 4-for-17 last night, 1-for-8-for-3. So he's, I don't think, your ideal fit around Jalen Green, but they're both young and they're both, you know, that's the real reason why I think they're hesitating to have John Wall back, because they want to see these two guys continue to grow and play together.
John and I have Dave Hardesty with us from Clutch Fans. And, you know, Dave, John and I have made the point that Wall would actually, it's, at least in theory, be the type of guy you would want to Jalen Green, because he might be a more calming, you know, a more calming presence on the court as a guy who's a primary ball handler. He would certainly have a better idea of when and where to get Jalen Green the basketball. I know he's not a long-term option. Of course, if you look at KPJ as a long-term option, you want those two guys playing together. But I just feel like, as you mentioned, the number one priority for me has to be, how do you help Jalen Green become a better basketball player? Because he is going to be the centerpiece. And I just personally don't think KPJ is going to be that core member right next to him. What are your long-term thoughts on Kevin Porter Jr.?
You know, being blunt, I 100% agree with you, Lance. I don't think Kevin Porter Jr. is the point guard of the future for the Rockets. Now, he has shown, you know, some improvement the last few games. I think you got to give it an honest shot because, you know, he's up for extension talks this summer. You got to know what you have in him. But I think as far as a point guard next to Jalen Green, my answer is no. And I do agree with John that I think John Wall would be a better a guy who could benefit Jalen Green more. He's a more stable point guard. He's much more experienced. You know, knows how to run a team better than KPJ, in my opinion. And so I think he would set Jalen Green up to succeed better than KPJ would. So. It's a tough one. I don't think in this draft, unless they were able to get like a Jaden Ivey, that you get a point guard, you know, that replaces KPJ. There's more bigs in this draft, but I just don't see him as the long term fit next to Jalen Green.
So it's early, and we're just seeing him, you know, for first extended time. But Garrison Matthews does look pretty good. This is the kind of guy that they've been. Why isn't this the kind of guy that they target all the time? If you're going to shoot threes, why not get good 3-point shooters? They've never done this. I just don't understand.
It's a revolutionary concept.
It really kind of is. And this guy looks like he could be a guy in the league for years and years to come.
Yeah, it's funny. He understands his role. He kind of reminds you a little bit of a Joe Harris. He's not as good of a shooter as Harris, but still a very good shooter. And he knows. He understands spacing, and he's not a complete zero otherwise. I mean, he'll at least, you know, hustle, take some charges on defense. He's a guy who has really surprised me. He's on a two-way contract, but I could see him being a rotation player in your top 8 or 9 as a guy who comes in and knocks down some shots and hustles. So, yeah, he's a surprising addition to me, and yeah, I think he's, I don't want to say a gem, but I think he's a guy that they found that is a definite keeper.
What do you do with Şengün going forward?
I'm sorry?
Şengün.
I really like what I've seen from him so far. He's an extremely gifted player. Whenever he's on the floor, I just think it's must-see TV. My question with Alperen Şengün is, how do you build a team around him? I mean, Nikola Jokic is a very unique player, and he's got similar qualities. He's kind of a cross between Jokic, reminds you a little bit of like a Luis Scola. He's got great post moves. His passing and defense have been better than I expected. Even his range has been better than I expected. I'm thrilled with him so far. My question is, you know, he's not your traditional rim protector. So is he your four or your five in the future? And but I've been, you know, just thrilled with him. I think if he was getting more minutes, he'd be in the conversation for Rookie of the Year because he's played that well.
He's been a solid, I mean, just a solid overall player, knows how to play. And with, it's nice with all the growing pains you're going to have to go through with Jalen Green to have another rookie who you don't really have those same growing pains. You know he's going to have some athletic limitations that will show up from time to time against different opponents. But is it, and I know he's a more skilled player, but do you think to bring back an old school international player, do you think that he has some of the same potential production and importance that Luis Scola had at one point for the Rockets?
Oh, I definitely do.
Yeah.
I think he's got, you know, those kind of post moves. I think he's smart, crafty. He's not selfish. You watch him; he's consistently passing the ball when he's up at the top of the key.
Really, you know, good
trying
passer.
To get his guards. I look at him as a guy who would fit in a lot of ways. It's just, is he going to be, you know, your center and you're providing spacing around him? Is he your four and going to provide some range as well? But he's just so gifted offensively that I think you've got a lot of time to figure that out. I mean, he's on the first year of a 4-year contract. He's only 19 himself. But he's just got a lot of talent. I think, like I said, whenever he's out on the floor, I want to make sure I don't step away from the TV. I make sure that, you know, I'm watching because he could do something great.
Josh Christopher, he exploded in the G League, and now he's back. Isn't he better off in the G League right now?
I think so. They praised his defense tremendously. I think he's got very good defensive potential. I just think he's erratic as an offensive player. They want him down there kind of running the show. And I think it would be a good experience for him. I think you'll see him get more time once the trade deadline comes and goes, or maybe even once December 15th comes. Possibly Eric Gordon gets traded. I think he'll eventually find a role here with the team. I just think that right now they need to get him reps in the G League and kind of bide his time until the space opens up.
Yeah, he's played mostly just garbage time. Got to get him some minutes. And he looked great. He had 29 for the Vipers on Friday. So that's better than just sitting around watching everybody else play up here.
He'll go. He'll before the trade deadline. EG's the kind of guy that you want to add, a veteran with a skill set, can take you off the bounce. Like, he's a guy that will have value for a team before trade deadline.
Yeah, you would think so. So this is pleasantly surprising, huh? This is a much nicer, a much better watch anyway than it has been. It's almost been unwatchable, Dave. Now all of a sudden they seem to have found they found something that hopefully they don't lose the rest of the way here.
Yeah, and they've got, I think, the next three games against opponents that are pretty poor records. They play OKC again and come home for, I think, Orlando. And, they could keep this going for a little bit here. So it's, it depends on what your perspective is, whether you want the top draft pick or you want to see the Rockets pull it out. But as long as it's happening organically with these young players, you love to see it.
Yep, absolutely. Dave Hardesty, Clutch Fans, clutchfans.net, is it? Is it clutchfans.net?
Yep.
Yep. Clutchfans.net. Dave Hardesty with us again here on the show. Always great to talk to you, Dave. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right. There's Dave Hardesty here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get back to baseball on the other side right here. But first, Lance.
Let's talk about my man over at Craig DeSurf over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. I mentioned him because he's the head honcho. As a matter of fact, I saw his daughter's TikTok went viral with Carlos Correa in it. She put it out there on Thanksgiving where Carlos steps into the TikTok late and pretends to throw a ball up and hit the home run and then points at the watch. that was in Craig's office. Craig is tight with Carlos and his family. His family's purchased multiple vehicles from, as has Carlos, obviously, from Craig DeSurf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Jose Altuve has had vehicles from there. There's been several of the Astros, and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is just a place to really get a great deal, pay very fair prices, get a great trade-in value for your vehicle, but maybe more importantly, they just make sure that they do whatever it is that they need to do to make you happy and take care of you. And I mean that. I mean, whatever the best offers there are, they're going to get that for you. And then whatever they have to do before, during, and especially after the sale, they're going to do to make you happy. It's about making you happy and bringing you into the family at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to Lance Z Cars to start the car buying experience. Located in Angleton, Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
All right, time to talk about Doc Linville. Time to talk about your hair. If you're on Twitch right now, you can see my hair, and I'm flipping it back, and it's just wonderful. I texted Doc yesterday when we were going to play golf. He's going to play in our tournament tomorrow, and he said he couldn't because it's so busy right now. At the end of the year, with the insurance and coverage and everything else, a lot of doctors are just swamped, especially surgeons and whatnot. So it's awfully difficult for them to get away to play golf. That's on you. That's on you. If you wanted to take that profession, that's on you. I'm available to play golf, and I'll be doing it tomorrow, Doc. But here's the deal is if you want hair, now's the time to get a hold of Doc. Get it done before the end of the year. He can get you in that office and get you going right away. Get a free consultation at 975hair.com. But it's silly for you not to have hair. It really is. It's so easy. Process is so simple. You are going to love it. The results are what's the most important thing, and they are awesome. You're looking for a great way to have hair again. Doc Linville's the way to go, and is neo-grafting. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, Detroit out. Javi Baez, 7 years, $140 million. 7 years, $140 million for Javi Baez. I don't know that Javi Baez is worth $20 million a year, but listen, going right for shortstops right now. What a time for shortstops. There was a time when it was all Tim Bogars and, just slappies, a bunch of slappies. And now you want to talk about a power position with athletes?
It's become one of the, you could almost say shortstop's become the new third base. In some ways. I mean, I know there's some highly paid third baseman, but look at the shortstops, Tatis, superstar. I would argue Lindor has superstar hype, and Carlos now has superstar hype. We'll see if they become superstars. I'd certainly wager more on Carlos Correa becoming, face of franchise than Lindor becoming face of franchise.
Well, Lindor's not got a lot of competition with the Mets because they're spending money. Okay, so
yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying is
it won't be long before the Mets are good with the money that they're.
It's
spending.
Almost impossible for them not to become good.
Yeah,
I mean they have to. Yeah. There's just too much talent. Seager gets over $300 million. That's now the third $300 million contract for $300 million. And you wonder why there's about to be a lockout in baseball.
No.
$300 million for Lindor.
Yeah.
Honestly, $300 million for Carlos. You really can't make, other than saying that's the market price. I get what his war is and all that. I get all that. You really struggle to come up with background for Correa that warrants a $300 million deal. That should be, honestly, that should be Otani. That should be Harper. That should be Trout. Realistically, it should be the best of the best from a hitting standpoint.
Yeah, it's just, we just hit a new plateau. It's $300 million now, and that's the world we live in, and that's what, it ain't going down, that's for sure. Baseball never goes down.
Well, but that's why there's going to be a lockout.
Well,
I would argue that it may go down.
It could be a lockout, and it's interesting. Major League Baseball yesterday proposed expanding the postseason field to 14 teams in a collective bargaining discussions with the Players Association.
You know why? I'll bet you it's because they want to include more money so that they can now find a way to – you either want to bring in more money to help pay what you're already having – Major League Baseball, the owners have to find ways to get length of contract under control. They just have to. They got to figure this out. This is a major, major problem. Most of these are going to end up being bad, bad contracts. And at some point, I think the owners are going to say, enough is enough. We're willing to wait this thing out. And I've listened to a couple of baseball analysts on podcasts talk about they think this one has some legs. Like this lockout could be long-lasting into the season because and could even wipe out a season because there are enough owners. There's a much smaller number of owners who are willing to keep paying these monster rates, and there's a substantially greater number, including guys like probably Jim Crane, who say, this is dumb. We got to do something about this because this is really stupid. We've got to put some kind of mechanisms. I understand that baseball players and their agents have run the sport for decades, but we can't continue to let it happen like this. Basketball at least has some mechanisms in place that they've negotiated. Football has mechanisms. At some point, baseball is going to have to find a way to get some give and take. You can't have the players have all this leverage and just continue to make it, continue to go down this road. Yeah. I mean, it's bad contract after bad contract is going to be had. Stanton, at the end of it, when it's all said and done, Stanton will be looked at as an average contract at best, maybe even slightly below. Because what has Giancarlo Stanton really given to – what difference has he made? How many World Series appearances has he helped bring?
But you got to get to the postseason. And
19 wasn't good.
Yeah, no, but this year was
COVID this year. This year was good.
This year was good. I mean, good and bad. I mean, they had certainly had their ups and downs. They looked like they weren't going to get there, and then they looked like world killers.
I just mean Stanton.
So did you see the proposal on this 14 team playoff? Apparently the top team in each league will get a bye. The second team in the league gets to choose which of the three wild card teams they want to play in a 3-game series. That would, and you want to talk about, you know, create.
I love that concept.
And you want to talk about, oh, really? You want us?
Oh, you want some of this?
You want some bulletin board material?
And then automatically, it's a bulletin board.
Yeah. So the second best record in each league gets to pick first of who they want to play. And then the third best record gets to choose between the other two, which one they want to play. How interesting is that? You get to pick.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. And then.
Baseball needs things. Look, you can't make your game faster. I know y'all have tried everything you can. You can't make your game faster. How about doing things like this? Create some juice.
Mm-hmm.
This creates juice. Like, who are they going to pick? People will argue about who you could pick. What if you had that in college football playoffs? What if you expand and say, okay, you get to pick your teams. Number one and number two gets to pick their – well, no, you made it six teams. What if it's six teams, John? You have six teams because I think a six-team playoff is the most viable football without making the regular season, without it meaning less. You could say, okay, we have a play-in, so to speak, not a play-in, but you have number – three play number six, number four play number five, and then after that game's played, number one gets to pick who they play.
Yeah.
I would love that. Can you imagine that? That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Except you watch what you wish.
No, but I mean that's what makes it good.
Yeah, that does make it good. That would make it great. Well, why you can still do it with seven teams? Why you could do it right now? Who won and who lost and who's remaining? And you know what? Number one gets to pick who they want to play. Let's go. It is interesting.
Baez to the Tigers.
It's
literally everyone's saying that's it. It's Yankees or Astros. I'm going to reintroduce this. Why would the Dodgers not be involved when Corey Seager just left and they lost Max Scherzer and they had all this money open up? Why? And they had a position that's open. Yeah, they can move Trey Turner there, or why not have Turner and Carlos? Like, why would the Dodgers not be a factor now? I know we haven't heard their name up to this point, but why would they not start making phone calls?
Already at $200 million?
Yeah, so are the Yankees.
Yep, yeah, right. And Yankees and, yeah, are. We're not saying the Yankees,
Yankees
do anything
are,
either.
Yankees are 210. Dodgers are 200, I think. Or it's flip. Or it's the other
Yankees
way around.
Yankees 210.
Yeah, and Dodgers, and Dodgers 200. But Dodgers. So why would that make a difference?
I am not seeing either of them do much. Are you? I haven't seen either of them do anything actually.
No.
Except lose guys. Except
no, that's true.
The Dodgers have just lost a couple of their a couple of main cogs, and the guy at the top of the Dodgers Trevor Bauer probably doesn't play for you. There's 35 million lost. 36 million lost.
Yeah, can you? Are you out of that? Is that your? I would imagine insurance takes care of that. You don't pay it.
I don't know how that works. You're deciding.
Or you go
he's
after,
not injured. You're deciding he's not playing.
Then one of the two happens. Morals clause. You go after the contract. That's a win for the Dodgers. Or your insurance takes care of it. That's a win for the
Dodgers. So far, we have not seen that happen with DeSean or Trevor Bauer. And guess what?
But teams have
the thought is, on a story this morning that was out about DeSean Watson, he could be suspended or he might not play again next year because this may not even be close
being
decided.
DeSean right now, if he decides not to settle, he is basically costing him. It's all on DeSean. Then that's your fault.
That's on you. But so far, it's been all on the Texans. They're paying him without him doing anything. Playing golf at my favorite place to play in Houston. Right now, I'm talking about Coors Light. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing Coors Light. That's where I drink. I drink a lot of beers up there. I do. And here's the deal is I don't care where you are. You could be wherever, at Wildcat, which is where we're going to be tomorrow. And I will have Coors Lights. I will. I'm telling you right here and right now, I'm going to have Coors Lights. And afterwards, I'm going to be boisterous in the awards presentation. But that's what I do, okay? It's golf. I'm going to have Coors Light. I'm playing golf today. Probably going to have Coors Lights. I'm going to. It doesn't matter what I'm going to. I played poker yesterday. What did I do? Coors Light. It doesn't matter what you do. All you got to do is pick up cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It's the world's most refreshing beer. If you make it your official beer, well, then you're going to make me happy. That's all. You're going to make yourself happy. You'll make Coors Light. Everybody will be happy because you've got the world's most refreshing beer, Coors Light.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hey, Texas Custom Patio says if you can conceive it, they can achieve it for you. All you have to do is give them a call or check up on their website at texascustompatios.com, schedule a free consultation. Here's what the process looks like. I know because they built a patio for me. You consult with them. They come out there. They look at your space. They will take measurements. They will do a CAD drawing for you that really gives you a very lifelike rendering of what your patio is going to look like. They'll design it, and the design team and Stephen Schell will come up with a concept that will look great. Of course, this is with your input. You want a fireplace? You want a fire pit? You want a grill? Do you want a flat top in there? Where's your refrigerators go? You're going to have a big screen TV. Where's that going to go? Your sound system? All of this is incorporated into what they create for you on the CAD drawing, and then they actually, when you decide to do it, you can get it financed, you can pay for it along the way in stages, and then what you are going to get is an oasis that makes your quality of life so much better. Outdoor kitchens, outdoor living spaces, room additions, sunrooms, it's all available. Freestanding pool houses, they can do it all. TexasCustomPatios.com.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cleaning it up, I think I said 7, and I thought I saw 7 years, 140 for Javi Baez. It's 6 years, 145. I don't believe the dude is worth over $20 million a year.
Let's go through Javi Baez's.
Javi Baez made sense at 7. It doesn't make as much sense at 6.
Well, you say that. Let's talk about this for a second. How old is Carlos?
Carlos is 27.
Okay. Javi's 28. Here is what Javi Baez has done since 2017. Are you ready? And you can use Carlos Correa's 2017 numbers moving forward too. 34. I'm going to go home runs, RBIs, 34, 111, 29.85. This is just for a second. I'm going to use that. 29.85 last year, 8-24. This year, 31-87. Better power numbers than Carlos. OPS, 881, 847. COVID year, 813. These are better numbers than Carlos Correa's. Slugging percentage, .554.
Not as nearly as good a shortstop. Playing in a bandbox in Chicago with the wind blowing off.
He won a Gold Glove, and a Gold Glove in the COVID shortened season of 2020.
Did he?
But no, he's not the defensive talent. But I'd say from a hitting standpoint, you could make an argument that he carries similar value. Yeah. And I'd have to look at all the splits.
And he's not as great a teammate. There's that. What's his WAR?
Let me get to his advanced
Carlos
stats.
Is the best WAR in baseball for a position player. So
yeah, I mean, his Javi's was 4.5, higher
good.
Than Seager's.
That's good.
Last year's WAR was 4.5. I mean,
that's good.
It's and the advanced analytics. This is, I'd say, this is a much better value than Seager's. If you want to look at just pure value, I don't think this is a bad contract at all. I think it's a pretty good contract. You're not stuck with anything beyond 6 years. I don't think this is all that bad at all. No. Now, from a split standpoint,
I thought 20 was about where, you know what, he's getting more. That's good for him. God bless.
From a career standpoint, his home and away, which I think is, you brought up the Cub thing.
Yeah.
Not that bad. Not that bad. OPS 777 at home, 789 on the road. So it's not just a Chicago Cub thing. His home run totals, 74 road, or home, 75 road. So it's not that. This is, unlike Story, who's got massive discrepancies home and away, who plays in Colorado, Javi's numbers are pretty much the same, no matter where he plays.
Let's get Spencer in here. He wants to talk about Carlos Correa. Hey, Spencer.
Hey, guys. I've thought for a long time that Carlos was either going to come back or go to Detroit. And now that Detroit's off the board, I just think he's going to come back. And I think the sweet spot is about a six-year. The reason I say this, I think it was Randy McIlroy tweeted it, 6 years, 210. And if Carlos, isn't comfortable with that, then give him an opt-out after year three, And if he performs for 6 years, then he'll get another $200 million contract. But, and if he goes and signs with the Yankees, God bless him, good for him. But, that'd be really odd to me for him to be playing at shortstop when the Astros come in town. And 30,000-40,000 people are chanting F Altuve, who's one of his best friends, and Correa sitting out there like, "Hello, what's up, guys?"
Is it so strange that you don't sign the check, though? Is it so strange that you don't sign on the dotted line if it's offered? I mean, if the Astros don't offer, what does he do? If the Astros don't offer, what does he do? You can want to be an Astro more than you want to be a Yankee, which I think is definitely the case with Carlos. But if the Astros, Carlos is going to be in a weird spot soon. Unless there's somebody who wants to pay him like Seager, who wants to pay him like Tatis, who wants to pay him like Lindor, what does he do? The ego is like, what the hell? I'm better than Lindor and better than Seager. I'm an elite defensive player whose best years are ahead of him offensively. I'm a great team leader. The consummate professional. What does Carlos do if it doesn't materialize?
We'll see.
And why would it not materialize?
We'll see. Well, maybe teams are going to wait until after the collective bargaining agreement. This whole thing is all settled. He may be waiting.
I hope you are disciplined and don't do something stupid. Yankees, it's time to be fiscally responsible. You two Dodgers, don't do something dumb. You guys hate Carlos Correa. Your fans hate Carlos Correa. You can't sign him. Your fans hate him too much.
So you got all day today and all day tomorrow because the lockout starts at 12 a.m. Thursday morning. So you got all day today and all day tomorrow. Carlos' agent better be on the phone.
Will Carlos get a deal done before then?
I would imagine he would.
What percent do you do it? I'm giving it 90%.
90% that it's done before then?
You can't not have a deal before a collective bargaining agreement where you could have a massive lockout, a long-term lockout.
Well, let's not forget it. He's looking for $300+ million. So, and there's not a lot of options out there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Could he do a $280 million deal?
Well, maybe. But then he's looking up at Corey Seager, going, "Really? Corey Seager got $325 million? I think there's now some ego might be in play.
All right. What about Carlos two at 76 with the Astros?
Two at 76? That would be a nice. That would be
$38 million a year.
Yeah,
2 year deal, and we'll let you test the market.
And again, no, you're setting a precedent for Tucker and for.
I get it, but it's also a 2 year deal. It's also a 2-year deal. And those guys have to understand this is a special circumstance. We're trying to give you a better chance to win a World Series, Jordan and Tucker.
And by the way, that door is still open with Justin Verlander.
Absolutely. A 2-year deal gets him to the market even faster.
Okay, when we come back, we are going to give away, okay, we've got a spot. We got 4 spots, actually, in our golf tournament tomorrow. Who can play? Can you play? Keep on listening. When we come back, I will ask you a question. I want you to call in. If you can play tomorrow, if you want a free foursome, because Chastain Ford has given us their spots, their 4 spots. They can't come. They're busy selling cars, okay, customizing cars for people. They're really, really, really busy, those people, okay? So we will, if you can play, why don't you line up the phones right now? 713-780-3776. We got 4 free spots in our tournament tomorrow. Starts at 10:30 at Wildcat Golf Club. Free lunch, Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Free dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen. Michelob Ultra. It's brought to you by SiteJab. It's awesome. It's going to be tomorrow. If you can play, 713-780-3776 is the number. And you can call us right now. Right now, though, I want to talk about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, promo code BET975. The best place to win and get paid, and that's the most important thing with a bookie. But how about this as well? No bookie is going to give you double your play, but that's going to happen at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. That's happening at MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. And if you're looking for a great way to have fun, if you think you know the game, you still got all kinds of college. We got all the bowl games. We got the college football playoff. We got these championship games here. We still got another 6 weeks of NFL football. And plus the playoffs. We still got all the NBA, baseball. Who knows when they'll be back. But golf is still going on every week. It's awesome. If you're looking for the best way, the best site to play on, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, promo code BET975.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Aaron, tomorrow we're going to be at Wildcat Golf Club for the occasional invitational. And we've got a spot here that Chastain gave us. They're not able to attend. They're busy with the business. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they're not able to attend, unfortunately. Not going to be able to play. But they got foursome, and they want to give it away here on the show. So here's the deal. We got Steve, Scott, and JD. They all called in. Steve?
Are we going to make them fight?
No, we're not going to make them
like
fight.
Like a karate contest?
Pull up Steve here. Hey, Steve, how are you? Steve, are you there?
Hey.
Yeah, how you doing?
I am.
Yeah, you.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You want to play in this thing? What kind of player are you? What's your handicap?
Yeah, I don't have a handicap. I own clubs.
Oh,
I'd say I'm a casual player.
I got you. And you like
more of a drinker while I'm playing?
I see. I like that. I like that about Steve. Thanks, Steve. We appreciate that. Scott, what kind of player are you?
I'm about a 12 handicap, but also a good drinker.
A good drinker, you can drink.
What about eating? Do you like to eat? I think this is telling that everyone is like, I'm a drinker, John. I drink. Yeah. I do lots of drinking.
People
are trying their hardest to win their foursome, and they lead with alcohol.
Right. Well, that's what they should lead with.
Know
your audience. And then there's JD. And I think JD is a drinker, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, JD.
I'm a drinker, and I'll show up and fight them for the spot if you want.
Okay, JD says he'll fight them for the spot.
Wow, I mean, that's JD.
All right, now I want you to bring all three of them up. Bring all three of them up. Can you bring them all up at the same time? Oh, you can only bring 2 up? Oh, damn it. Okay, so, all right, I'm going to ask you a question, JD, and see if you can answer it right away.
Okay.
You ready? Who won the Houston Open just a couple weeks ago?
I have no idea.
Okay, let's go to Scott real quick. Scott, who won the Houston Open a couple weeks ago?
Kokrak.
Oh, very good, Scott. Steve, let's get Steve in here. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve, sure. You here?
Yes, I am.
Who won the match that just played a couple days ago?
I have no idea.
Oh, see, Scott gets it. Scott knew Jason Kokrak won the Houston Open. Scott's a golfer, okay? And by the way, the match was won by Brooks Koepka. So, Scott, congratulations. You're going to play tomorrow. You got a foursome? You got a bunch of drinking buddies?
Bring them up. We can call in sick.
Pardon me, Scott? Go ahead.
I said we can call in sick. I can find some people.
Yeah. Well, make sure you're there, all right? And come up to us. We're going to be broadcasting. It starts at 10:30. Come up to us beforehand and let us know, and I want to see a beer in your hand.
Sounds good.
All right. There's Scott. Scott's going to be there tomorrow. How's that? See? He knew. He's still right there. He knows what's going on. So we got that. And for those of you that didn't, I don't know if there's any spots still left. We had a couple of spots left. I don't know if they were filled or whatever. If you want to still play, maybe you can go to the website and you can get in. See if you can't get in still. We really appreciate it. I really appreciate the guys. So first of all, SiteChat putting it on. And secondly, the guys from Mac Vibe who bid on me and gave $2,500 to play with me.
That's so stupid.
Well, that's not stupid.
That is like a Seager contract. You just don't. That's like putting money out there for.
That's not Trevor stupid.
Story. It's like Trevor Story trying to sign Trevor Story to a massive park. It's just stupid. Dumb money. I hate these stupid contracts. We have got to get control of some of this bidding and these baseball contracts.
But some of these golf bidding?
Some of these foursome bids and baseball contracts are out of control.
So that's what you're saying. Your is you war don't like charity. So low. You hate charity.
Yeah, that's what you said. You just hate charity.
You told the Latino Learning Center, you know what? Kick rocks. You guys don't matter anymore.
I like
we don't
some
need to raise
charity.
Money for
you. No. Some charity's good. And some are bad. Eyelids for Kids. That's a good
bad.
Charity.
No, that's really,
no, that's
really
a good
bad.
Charity.
Do not
oh,
give
I
to
guess
that.
Kids who don't have eyelids don't deserve eyelids. Mm. Okay.
Oh, God.
Good point.
Except it goes to you,
kids.
Not for that.
Eyelids
oh,
for
that's
kids.
Terrible. Did you get Scott's information? He's all good? All right, good. All right, so Scott's
it's been a while since we talked about eyelids for kids.
Yeah, it's been, you know, hasn't been nearly long enough.
Twitch says, what? I own clubs? Is that your lead?
That is the lead. He owns clubs. All right. So Coach Cully yesterday, when asked about now there
we haven't even gotten to Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Well, right at LSU. No. We're John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf announced it.
That doesn't count. John Clay Wolf also said inappropriate stuff during a spot.
Well, he did, but he
well,
did
it's not going to show up on a podcast.
But
is
we
it?
Haven't even brought up Justin Reed. We're in Houston, Texas, and our Texans have some controversy, and you want to talk about LSU.
Actually, I want you to play this. I want you to play cut 27 with
yeah.
Because actually there's two cuts where David Culley was asked about Justin right. Reed. And as I thought, you get one side of the story with Ryan Clark. David Culley didn't really tell you the story, but there's enough reading between the lines that maybe there's more
maybe
than
there.
Just, are we doing a bad job of coaching? Well, in a very respectful manner, sir. I would advance that you are potentially not coaching up to your potential or maybe, and I don't want to be out of line here, in a very respectful manner, I would like to approach you with this commentary that your coaching has been at times woeful.
Or slightly below,
very average to slightly below average. That's how Ryan Clark tried to position it, like, he just asked him a question. He just answered a question, and they suspended
or he
him.
Asked him a question and said, you guys suck.
Yeah.
Okay, that could have been it, too. We don't know. But Coach Culley said, nah, that ain't the case. See, there was more than just a disagreement.
Right. It wasn't just in a disagreement. It had something to do with our rules and our standards. It wasn't just in a disagreement.
Now, I don't know what that means, because one of the rules might be you can't criticize the coaches. That might be one of the rules, right?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Did he say something about Jack or Cal?
Hopefully.
I said something ugly about Cal.
You can't get suspended for saying bad things about it. You can get suspended. You can get traded for saying bad things about an owner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Jack.
Yeah. David Culley basically is telling you, it's more than just what you've heard. It's more than what Ryan, without saying he's saying, it's more than what Ryan Clark put out. It's more than... it's more than Justin Reed's side of the story, which was the only one that made it out publicly.
Right.
There's standards and what did he call them? Rules and standards. There's rules and standards that we have, and he broke those. I don't know if it's just about you can't criticize the coaching. My guess is it would be something that's a little more expanded than that. Like, you guys just aren't doing your job as coaches. Something was said in that room that they felt like crossed the line. I don't know what it was. I've been digging around. I haven't been able to find out the entire extent of it, so I don't know. My buddy with the Jets yesterday, I was talking to him about the game. He's in the front office with the Jets. He goes, man, he goes, I'll tell you what's funny is people acting like Justin Reed's suspension was some kind of major story. He goes, that was so weird to us. Like, we've watched the tape. Like, what? This is like a, he said, you think that Justin Reed being out was they lost Ed Reed. He goes, we thought they were talking about Ed Reed, not Justin Reed. That's a quote. That's a quote where he said, we thought they were talking about Ed Reed, not Justin Reed. Like, we should have had 35 on that team easily. Yeah, they weren't all that impressed with the Justin Reed drama. They're like, really? Just Justin Reed? Is this important?
He is. He's a big deal. Okay, just so you know, Justin Reed is a big deal. And apparently Justin Reed did more than just disagreed. Just disagreed. Let's get John in here quickly before we hit the break. What do you say, John?
Hey, Cub, coming up, by the way, Coach O
on a mobile.
Coach O on a mobile is going to join us.
What's going on, John?
Oh, not too much, man. Glad, good to listen to you guys in the morning. Hey, there's some kind of weird dynamic going on here with this Carlos Correa deal because I don't know when I've seen the major league team kind of have the upper hand. Like, every time a shortstop goes off the board and it's not Carlos Correa, the chips start moving a little bit more in the Astros' favor a little bit. And it's not like they didn't make a really nice offer to him. They just didn't give him the years that he wanted. But he's in a premier position. He played really a great year and set himself up for the contract like they always talk about guys need to do in a contract year. But so how does the top player at his position, a senior position, be not go off the board when he's not really asking for outrageous money compared to what the market is right now for top shortstops? So I don't know that I've seen a guy of his caliber just sort of sit out there and it doesn't look like anybody's really interested. I don't know if it's because of his affiliation with the Astros, because he was so outspoken, stood up for himself, his team, his guys, and other organizations like the Yankees and the Dodgers and all these are like, I just don't know if we can bring this guy in. I mean, I don't know what our fan base is going to think. I don't know how that's going to play out, you know. So there's like some weird stuff going on in there.
You know, I don't know it's that nearly as much as I'm worried about giving a guy a 10-year or more deal, 8 to 10, whatever, that's been injury prone, that's, you know, his OPS has been good, not great. Great shortstop, certainly. He might have a little bit of that with the Dodgers and the Yankees with the comments that he made and the shut the F up kind of stuff and that stuff. There might be a little bit of that. I think any fan base would just go, whatever. They have not cared. Every fan base has not cared that you got. Marwin Gonzalez was benefited more than anybody in Minnesota. Yay, Marwin Gonzalez. Alex Cora was the... He was the designer of the he was the magistrate of the entire scandal. Yay, he's our Red Sox manager. We love Alex Cora. Not like those cheaters. I mean, fans are so hypocritical. It doesn't matter. They will love Carlos Correa if he hits a home run in the postseason for them. They will love Carlos Correa. I think the question is whether or not it's more about I don't know about 10 years, $300 million for what Carlos has done so far. I just don't. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. When we come back, Coach O on a mobile is going to join us here from Destin. He's in Destin.
That's in Florida. That's the beach.
Yeah, he's on the beach. He went right from the press conference to Destin.
The beach of Florida?
Yeah, his car packed already. Yeah.
Wow. Tiger Woods is still jacked. Holy crap. We're watching him. He had a live press conference.
Yeah, he hurt his leg, not his arms.
You know what he was doing in rehab?
Bench.
throwing up weights.
Yeah, he was benching.
He was bench pressing.
Yeah.
He didn't miss any arm days.
No.
No chest days. I don't know about leg days.
He missed a few leg days. I don't think he missed any steroid, any cycle, though.
Ooh, boy. Tiger's going to see you.
I'm not. I mean, I missed any of the news about steroids.
You actually can get that for recovery. You actually can get that prescribed.
So it looks like he might have gotten that.
What do I have here? Oh, good. TGS Insurance. Text the word money to 232323. What that does for you is they've got aggregated A-rated insurance insurance companies. You could get on the phone and call yourself and shop rates. I used to do that. I'd get through two of them, and that's it. I got my rate now and two more rates, and that's it. It just takes too long. When you have TGS Insurance, they've got a variety of A-rated insurance, and they can shop every one of those companies with your address within 15 seconds. I didn't say minutes. I didn't say hours, days, 15 seconds. You text the word money to 232323. You can do it right now, just as a chance. There's no strings attached. Why would you not check and see what your homeowner's insurance rate is right now compared to what you're paying? And if you're with the same company for more than a few years, you're going to start seeing those rates go up and up, and it's incrementally so that you don't notice it. But before you know it, you're paying way too much. The average savings is over $900 now for annual homeowner's insurance. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.